You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, flying solo today. My regular co-host, Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, is not available. He'll be back with me for tomorrow's episode. So I'm going to be talking about the Dodgers series win over the Rockies. They won 2 out of 3, lost the first game frustratingly, but bounced back to win the last two games, actually gained a game on the Giants this weekend, who lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates. So a lot of stuff to talk about from the weekend. Going to talk about Josiah Gray's first career start, second appearance. Going to talk about Chris Taylor carrying the team. Some news dump about different guys being hurt and not hurt and all of that. We'll probably touch on Kenley Jansen a little bit, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about missed opportunities and how frustrating they can be. So that's the plan for today, but first I want to remind you, please subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess let's start with a little bit of the news. Mookie Betts on Sunday was finally placed on the injured list, I think 8 days after he was originally injured. Doesn't necessarily affect his timeline coming back, because I think the reason they finally put him on the injured list is because they realized he's going to need at least 10 more days. And I think they had been hoping, first they were hoping to get him back for the previous Giants series, and then they had been hoping to get him back for this upcoming Giants series. And once they realized that wasn't going to happen, they figured might as well put him on the injured list, use his roster spot for somebody. It's not like they have a whole lot of major league options anyway. They actually replaced him on the roster on Sunday with Jimmy Nelson coming back from injury, which was good to see. He pitched on Sunday, looked good. So hopefully bringing back a little bit of normalcy to the bullpen, although Joe Kelly then tweaked his hamstring when pitching the ninth inning on Sunday. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. We don't really know for sure what that's going to be for Kelly, but it would kind of fit in with the theme of the Dodgers this year that, you know, when guys are going well, they get hurt. Going along with that theme, Cody Bellinger finally broke out of his lengthy slump on Friday night against the Rockies. He went 2 for 3. His one out was hit 107 miles an hour, but right at the right fielder. He had a double and a triple. But unfortunately, the triple, if it had been about 4 inches higher, it would have been a home run. And Cody Bellinger might be healthy if that had been the case, because he could have trotted around the bases instead of sprinting to third. And he tweaked his hamstring. He did pinch hit on Sunday and, you know, grounded out and just kind of jogged down to first base. They've said that they're considering playing him at first base where he doesn't have to run as much. So it seems like they're not concerned that it's a major injury, but we've heard that story before, and not that they are lying or that they're incompetent. It's just that sometimes injuries are more severe than you think they're going to be. And I think if the Dodgers were at full strength, they probably would have put Bellinger on the injured list immediately just to give him a week and a half off. Unfortunately, the Dodgers are about the furthest thing from full strength a team can possibly be. They currently have, you know, well, they play this series with the Rockies, missing 60% of their opening day rotation and 55% of their, or no, 5 out of 8, whatever that is, 62.5% of their, you know, starting eight, which you would have called their starting eight on opening day. You know, that's a little misleading because Chris Taylor isn't in that starting eight. And even though we knew he'd be playing pretty much every day. So even if you count him and you go with the starting nine, that's 55% and 56%. So they were missing a lot of guys. One of them for good reason. Max Muncy's wife had their baby, so he took the weekend off. I was very I don't know what the word is, impressed, proud. Kelly Muncy, once she made it through the first Giants series, so she was overdue anyway, and once she made it through that first Giants series, she had her doctor induce labor so that Max could be back for the next Giants series. So that is a dedicated wife, reminded me and a lot of people of AJ Pollock's wife last year, even though their daughter, baby daughter, had all those health complications and everything. She encouraged AJ to play baseball. So, you know, being the wife of a Major League Baseball player is a different challenge than most of us will ever face. And, you know, I wouldn't judge these wives for being different, but it's pretty, pretty cool to see how supportive they are of their husbands and their careers. I'm trying to think if there's other news. I think that's mostly the news, and of course it's all injury related news. Corey Seager might be back soon. Clayton Kershaw might be back soon. Max Muncy will be back for Tuesday's series with the Giants. You know, so hopefully they'll start to get guys back. You know, hopefully Mookie he'll be eligible to come off the injured list on August 1st. Hopefully he'll be ready around then. Hopefully Bellinger isn't out too long. You know, a lot of these hopefullys, but we've learned one thing from the 2021 Dodgers, which is never get your hopes too high about guys coming back from injury, because either somebody else will go down or something will get re-aggravated or whatever. And really, it is really remarkable that the Dodgers are within two games of not just first place in their division, but the best record in baseball, despite having missed like 1,100 days to the injured list this year. It's not the most that any team has missed to the injured list, but if you look at like the Padres have actually missed the most days, 1,637. Dodgers are only, quote-unquote, only at 1,131, which is like the seventh most. But if you look at the Padres list, they have a ton of guys who have missed basically the whole season. You've got Dan Altavilla, who's been on the roster one day. You've got Michel Baez, Jose Castillo, Trey Wingenter, Javi Guerra, Matt Strom, Jorge Onya, and Mike Clevinger, who have all missed the entire season. You know, four of those guys with Tommy John surgery. And so it's like, you know, do those really count? Like, is missing Jose Castillo to Tommy John surgery the same thing as missing Corey Seager most of the season? I don't think so. So, you know, if you look at the actual quality of the players the Dodgers have been missing, it is pretty crazy that they are being as successful as they are so far. Obviously, no excuses, and the wins and losses count. And I had somebody call me out on that when I mentioned the injury stuff and say, well, you didn't like it when Padres fans made excuses about Clevinger and the guy whose name I will never remember. What is that guy's name? Why do I always forget that guy's name? The pitcher for the Padres, Denelson Lamet, you know, last year the Padres fans saying the Padres would have won the NLDS if they had had Clevinger and Lamet. The difference is, I'm not saying these losses don't count. I'm saying it's pretty remarkable the Dodgers have done as well as they have, and it leaves me hopeful that as guys get healthy, if the Dodgers can stick around or even get into first place when they're not healthy, hopefully these guys are rested and healthy and ready come October and the Dodgers can go on a run. That's my hope. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about some of the specifics. I'm going to talk about Josiah Gray's start, Chris Taylor, a few other things from this weekend series. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, I'm back. I want to talk a little bit about JoJo Gray. He made his first career start. His major league debut was essentially a start, but they used an opener, and so technically it's different. You know, it's essentially the same, but, you know, technically it's his first career start. And it was kind of interesting. There were definitely still some command issues that we, you know, we saw in his first game. The command issues unfortunately manifest themselves in him throwing pitches right down the middle sometimes and the Giants punishing him. This time, the command issues were more manifest in walks. He had four walks. One of them was intentional, and it's not like, I think he walked the first batter of the game on five pitches. But after that, you know, I think the other two walks were both on full counts. He made some good pitches, but you could tell he just wasn't quite putting the ball right where he wanted. And he even said after the game, the biggest difference he's seen between the minors and the majors is it's harder to get major league hitters to chase. And, you know, we've seen that with some of the guys who have been on the Dodgers this year who probably should have been in the minor leagues and how they do chase a little bit more sometimes. You know, the hitters in the major leagues are just, in general, better hitters than in the minor leagues. And so where Josiah Gray maybe could have gotten a swing at a high fastball in the past, now the guy can spit on that and take it for a ball and work the count. And so that's stuff that will come with time. As of right now, Josiah Gray is still scheduled to stay in the rotation and make a start against the Diamondbacks next weekend. Obviously, those plans could change at any time if something trade deadline related happens. But as of right now, the plan is for JoJo to get another start. And, you know, it'll be kind of nice after having to face the Giants in his first start, getting to face the Rockies and then the Diamondbacks. Maybe will help him with his confidence. You know, let's face it, maybe a little bit closer to a minor league lineup, especially because, you know, the D-backs may have even traded some of their good players by the time he faces them. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, but it was definitely, for me, it was progress. He got a lot of swings and misses, got a lot of strikeouts just like last time. And so, you know, it was different than his first appearance. And in some ways it was better, some ways it was worse. But overall, it seemed to me like progress in the, you know, the overall progression of being a major league pitcher. And it's exciting to watch him pitch. You can see what the hype is about, and you can see why people are so excited about him. Other stuff from this weekend, Chris Taylor basically just put the team on his back. He hit two home runs on Sunday. The Dodgers scored three runs, all three on solo homers, two by Taylor and one by Will Smith to break a tie in the bottom of the eighth inning. But Chris Taylor has just been so good lately. I think this is six straight games that he has led off the game by getting on base. He has a couple home runs in there. Basically, you know what Mookie Betts was doing out of the leadoff spot before he got hurt. Chris Taylor has just picked that up and continued that. Dodgers leadoff hitters in the last few weeks have been really, really good. And Taylor has continued that. When you throw in his defensive value and versatility, he's just been a lifesaver. With all the injuries going on, he has been the star of the team lately, and that's been really good to see. When Corey Seager comes back, one benefit there will be, you know, if Cody Bellinger does have to play first base for a little while because of his hamstring, when Seager's back, they can move Taylor to center field. Right now, the Dodgers played on Saturday and Sunday with A.J. Pollock in center, which is not ideal. That he wasn't really tested. There, it didn't hurt them at all. But, you know, A.J. Pollock is not quite the center fielder that Cody Bellinger is or Chris Taylor is. And so, you know, it's Chris Taylor, when you look at what he's done offensively and then also acknowledge the fact that he can play, you know, six different positions on the field, just remarkable. And deserving of all the praise, he was a deserving all-star. It's interesting to think about what's going to happen because he is going into a contract year. Obviously, he likes playing for the Dodgers. Taylor is an underspoken kind of guy. It's hard to really know what a player wants, though. And, you know, if Taylor, I don't know if he likes his role or if he wants Kike wanted to be a starter at a position. And, you know, I don't know if Taylor wants that or if he likes bouncing around. I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if the Dodgers will approach him about an extension during the season or if he will go to free agency. But it's going to be one of the most intriguing storylines of the offseason if he does go to free agency to see, do the Dodgers bring him back? How much of a push do they make to bring him back when you've got Seager at free agency too. You know, with Lux potentially being the shortstop of the future, although Lux is going to have to start hitting more consistently. I think there are some questions that have come up about Lux's ability to hit left-handed pitching. And I don't know if the verdict is in yet, but, you know, it's definitely a question mark. And so a lot of different questions about what the Dodgers shortstop position is going to look like next year. And I think it is perfectly reasonable to think it could be Seager, or it could be Lux, or it could be Taylor, or it could be, you know, somebody else. And so Chris Taylor is definitely making this decision a hard one for the Dodgers with the way he's playing and carrying the team. One other thing I kind of want to mention from the series, Kenley Jansen on Saturday, you know, after three straight blown saves, the last game before the All-Star break, and then his first two appearances in those two games with the Giants. I'll talk more about that a little bit in the last segment, but, you know, he had those three blown saves, and then he came in with a 1-0 lead on Saturday night, and he looked good. And he got the first two outs pretty easily, and then he walked whoever it was. I can't remember who it was that walked, but worked to go. Oh, Ryan McMahon. That guy, he's a tough hitter. He worked a really good at bat, and Kenley made some good pitcher's pitches, and McMahon laid off him. And it was a really good example to me of how sometimes good hitting just beats good pitching, because Kenley made his pitches in that at bat, and McMahon was able to lay off them. You know, a lot of times a good pitcher's pitch is not in the strike zone. It's a pitch that gets the hitters to swing. And I think that most hitters would have swung at least one of those last two pitches to McMahon that he laid off and worked the walk. And, you know, so we start getting nervous. Okay, Kenley walked a guy, and then CJ Krohn came up and struck out on three pitches. And, you know, Kenley made the pitches to him, and Krohn chased him. And that was kind of what we expected. And so it was really good to see Kenley bounce back like that. There were some boos when Kenley was coming into the game. And, you know, we talked last week about booing Kenley Jansen, booing your own team. And it's one thing to boo a performance, but to boo a guy as he's coming into the game, unless it's a situation like, you know, if Trevor Bauer ever pitches for the Dodgers again and you feel the need to boo him, I get that. That's booing the person, and you're, you know, just own the fact that you're booing the person. There's no reason to boo the person of Kenley Jansen. You know, so if you want to boo the performance after the fact, that's one thing, but booing a guy when he's coming in, it's garbage, bottom line. But I think he got more cheers than boos, and nothing but cheers at the end, because he really bounced back. And then it was really refreshing to see that on Sunday, Dave Roberts did not go back to Kenley Jansen, even though he hadn't thrown a ton of pitches on Saturday, but he recognized three out of the last 4 days he's pitched. He's been very heavily worked. If you give him Sunday off with the day off on Monday, then he's ready for the Giants series. So that's what they did. They ended up going with Joe Kelly to close out the game. And Kelly looked really good, gave up an infield single, and unfortunately tweaked his hamstring. I was worried about his ankle at first because he rolled the ankle a little bit, but apparently he tweaked his hamstring a little bit on trying to make the play on the infield single. But he got out of the inning, he got the save, and looked really good. And so you would hope that the fact that he was able to get three outs after tweaking his hamstring probably means it's not super severe, but you never can tell. And, you know, hopefully we're not going to lose Joe Kelly now, just as other people are maybe starting to get healthy. If it's not one thing, it's another, but, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, they're going to do some tests, going to do some treatment on Monday and see how he feels. Hopefully Joe Kelly will not be out for any time, or at least not any, at least not a long time, because he's looked really good. He was hitting 100 miles an hour, painting the corner. Just, you know, Joseph Kelly, the alter ego who throws strikes, is a really, really good pitcher, and the Dodgers could really use him with Jimmy Nelson being back, Corey Knebel hopefully on his way back. He's on a rehab assignment. So the Dodgers bullpen, which has been a weakness at times, could be back getting close to being a strength again, which would be really, really good. I think that's it for the weekend series. I'm going to come back in just a minute. I'm just going to talk about the idea of missed opportunities and how frustrating they can be. Keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar first. Built Bar is, as you know, the best tasting protein bar in the world. And you know what? Here in America, we have freedom of choice. And here at built.com, where you can get your Built Bars, you have freedom of choice there too, because they have a ton of flavors. They are all delicious. I think they even still have the grasshopper cookie flavor, which is my favorite thing. It's my favorite candy bar. Even if we're not just talking about healthy candy bars, it is my favorite. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars, but they all have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. They are delicious and healthy, and Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is really cool. I'm recording this episode late on Sunday night because I was watching the Olympics, and you probably have been too. Well, Built Bar is part of that too. And if you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, last segment here. I just want to talk about missed opportunities. I mentioned the Dodgers are only 2 games behind the Giants now. They picked up a game this weekend. And, you know, in some ways it just makes it even more frustrating that, you know, obviously every team has games that they lose that they should have won and games that they win that they should have lost throughout the season. You know, it happens to everybody. But when you look, it's hard not to think about what should be right now. You know, the Dodgers could or should be up on the Giants by, you know, 3 games right now, at least 1 game, even if you accept Kenley's first blown save of that Giants series as, well, that's just baseball. There's closers blow saves sometimes. So I mean, we can't necessarily say the Dodgers should have won that one because sometimes closers blow saves. But it was that next game, the unforced error by Dave Roberts of bringing Kenley back again. Without that, the Dodgers are tied with the Giants right now. And then you've got the game on Friday night against the Rockies when the Dodgers had tied the game up in the bottom of the ninth inning. They had bases loaded, nobody out. So the winning run is 90 feet away, and then 3 straight strikeouts, you know, with Will Smith being one of the guys. Like, that was, you know, Will Smith is a guy you always trust to give you a quality at bat right there. When Will Smith stepped up to the plate, I honestly believe there was no way the Dodgers were going to lose the game because, you know, get the ball in the air, get anything, you know, I had total confidence that Will Smith was going to get the job done, get Chris Taylor in from third base. He didn't. He struck out. And then you had Sheldon Noisy, who was in the game because Cody Bellinger had gotten hurt. And then you had A.J. Pollock. You know, Pollock put up a good at-bat, but unfortunately, all three of them struck out. But that's a missed opportunity. When you have bases loaded, nobody out, and you don't get even one run in, don't even put a ball in play, that's a game the Dodgers should have won. And if they win that, they're a game up on the Giants right now. And they're heading into this series with the Giants in first place, in control, you know, of their own destiny, all those things. And so it's, you know, in a way it's promising because even with all these missed opportunities, the Dodgers are still within striking distance of first place. But you just kind of hope that as the season goes on, that these missed opportunities, that you don't have too many of them, and that the ones you've had don't come back to bite you. Because, you know, especially when they happen against the team you're chasing, because it is a 2-game swing. The Dodgers, if they win, you know, the Dodgers realistically should have won 3 out of 4 games against the Giants, or at least split the series. And if they win 3 out of 4 instead of losing 3 out of 4, they finish the series ahead by 1 game instead of down by 3 games. And then they would have picked up the game this weekend. That puts them up by 2 games. You know, all these things. There's so many. When you miss opportunities against the team you're chasing, you just hope and pray that it doesn't come back to bite you. I still believe the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants. I think we saw that in that last series. And I know that's Dodger-colored glasses. I know if there's any Giants fans listening to this, they're just laughing at me right now because, you know, how can you say that losing 3 out of 4 to the Giants showed you the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants? Well, you know, one of the games, it was not on the players. That Kenley Jansen was put not in a position to succeed. And, you know, I don't blame games on managers hardly ever. I honestly believe the vast majority of the time players play and they win or lose. That game, though, was lost by Dave Roberts. And it doesn't happen very often, not nearly as often as a lot of you think it does. I don't know about you specifically, but I know that I am on the pro Roberts side compared to a lot of Dodger fans. most games are not the manager's fault. That one was. Just like Game 5 of the 2019 NLDS was Dave Roberts' fault. Most games are on the players, those two on Dave Roberts. So, you know, when you think about the fact that they should have at least split the series, despite the fact that Mookie was missing, Seager's missing, you know, Muncy's head wasn't totally in the series, you know, all these people missing, Kershaw, Bauer for those reasons, you know, the fact that the Dodgers very easily should have split the series and very easily could have won the series with all these guys missing really gives me a lot of hope for when slash if the Dodgers do get to full strength. If they can get to full strength by October, I think it's pretty obvious that the Dodgers are the best team in baseball if they're at full strength. Now, who knows if they will be at full strength in October? Who knows if, you know, Seager, how long is it going to take him to get his swing back when he does come back? All these things, you know. But if the Dodgers are at full strength or something close to it in October, they are absolutely the team to beat. And I think that's what last week's series with the Giants showed me is, you know, even with all these players missing for the Dodgers, it took some major screw-ups, a really bad game by Kenley Jansen and a really bad decision the next day by Dave Roberts for the Giants to win the series. And so that's kind of what I'm getting at is that Dodgers at 100% are better than the Giants at 100%. The question is, can they get to 100% and can they stop missing these opportunities? And, you know, that's just going to have to play out. We'll see what happens in this series with the Giants. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Dodgers come in and sweep the Giants in this three-game series and just take control of the division. You know, that if they sweep the Giants, that puts them up by a game in the division. And maybe, you know, it's been like a month and a half since I think it was the first week in June that I talked about, probably June 7th episode. I'm going to say June 7th. I talked about how it was time for the Dodgers to take over first place and take control. And now we are almost 2 months later and they haven't done it yet. And time's getting short, but it's time for that to happen. It's time for them to take control. And this series with the Giants coming up is the time to kick that off. Take over first place, get going, get your guys healthy, and then just start running away with the division and get the job done. The Padres made a trade on Sunday. They traded for Adam Frazier from the Pirates for maybe less of a return than we thought the Pirates might be demanding from the Padres. Who knows? But, you know, the Dodgers... Andrew Friedman's not going to make a reactionary trade, but the Dodgers are definitely going to be making some deals in the next week or so. I'm sure, you know, we have an off day episode tomorrow. Vince and I will probably talk some more about the trade deadline, what's coming up, all those things. So, you know, the Padres kind of kicked that off and the Giants are going to be looking to improve their team. Dodgers are going to be looking to improve their team. It's going to be really fun to see what happens in the next week before the trade deadline and then what happens in the last 2 months of the season. Hopefully, what we see is the Dodgers taking control and running away a little bit with the division, because I think that's what should happen because they are the best team. So that's about it for me today. It was kind of rambling. I know there was these Monday episodes. There's always a lot to talk about because we have a whole series to talk about, but I really do appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate those of you who've told us you listen every day. That's awesome. If you're not listening every day, we understand it's a lot of commitment, but add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. We'd love to have you listen a little bit more. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about our show. Maybe they'll love this show as much as you do too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.